You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Sir Richard Branson. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful organizations. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones. Barb, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Barb, tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what did your family do back then?
I was actually born in Montreal. My dad worked for CN Rail and my mom was a homemaker. And then in 1977, when a lot of people moved to Toronto due to Bill 101, people were scared Quebec would separate. One little Toyota Corolla went left to Nova Scotia. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, and a lot of things went wrong. And when we landed in Nova Scotia, I remember saying to my dad, why did I have to leave my beautiful province of Quebec? And he said, you don't speak French. And he said, you have to go learn French. Alors, chaque été, pendant l'université, j'étudie le français à Trois Pistoles, Laval, l'Université de Montréal, et j'ai bu trois bières pour un avec les séparatistes. And I shared, hey, I heard you. Yeah, I'll do the work. I'll learn French. And let's hear each other. And you know what? It shaped my whole life. This idea of taking conflict or people not understanding one another and actually spending the time to listen and do the work, it takes a lot of work and it's hard, but it pays off. And so this idea of peace has always been inside of me from my childhood, really.
Really? So quite a great founding story, in a sense, for your organization today.
Built the whole thing. It's based fully on that experience.
So what did you study at university?
Yeah, my undergrad was in sociology. I wanted to be a social worker. And then I volunteered for street youth for 3 years. I created the Study Buddy program. And then when I was trained as a counselor and got the button in case they rioted or had to check for really serious injuries, I realized, oh my God, I'm not strong enough for this. And that was really a wake-up call, but I was grateful that I had volunteered to find out if this is for me. And it was really kind of a hard blow to realize I'm not strong enough to do this. And so there was a bit of a recession. It was 1991. And so I got a job as a flight attendant. So lucky to get a job. And you know what? I learned more in my 9 years as a flight attendant between my degrees. My second degree is journalism. Flying in business class. You know, one in six people are terrified of flying. And I knew the people in business class would never speak to me on the ground. Who was I? And so I had this captive audience that I could talk to about marketing. And so I learned everything about business, pouring coffee. So nothing is ever what it seems. If you choose to be really present, everything you need is in front of you. And that really was where I learned about business.
So what airline were you with?
It was called Air Atlantic. It was Canadian partner. That's how long ago it was.
So this was, you were in still in Halifax at this point.
That's right. I was based in Halifax. We'd fly to Boston. We'd fly to Montreal, L'Île de Madeleine, Newfoundland. It was a sort of like modern day Air Jazz.
So it wasn't going to Japan or China or things like that. It was more local sort of thing. So a lot of flights, short, but a lot of them.
A lot of them. We used to call the flight to PEI, Charlottetown, was we called it the 20-minute workout. A 20-minute flight, full service for 37 people. And if six people had babies on their laps, you were warming bottles. And you would do that 8 times a day. And you'd forget where you were landing. And I mean, now they don't serve if there's anything under 45 minutes. So yeah, we worked hard.
We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones.
Did you meet, just curious, this is your idle question, did you meet any famous people on your flights?
Oh, I did. Oh my gosh. I used to walk around with Pierre Trudeau's Towards a Just Society, the book, hoping that maybe one day he would sign it because he was a true philosopher king and I love philosophy. And I carried around, it's a heavy, hard cover book. And I carried it around for a long time, I gave up. And then one night I was doing this crazy thing they used to make us do. It's a 14 hours but you fly into Newfoundland, you get to sleep for 3.5 hours. So you literally want to stay in your uniform and lay on the bed, and then you get up and fly back. And so I was driving with my friend Michelle, and I said, oh my God, I forgot my makeup. This was at the night going into the shift, the 14-hour shift. And he goes, do you want to go back? I was like, no, who am I going to see? Who am I going to see? So the next morning, I look like hell. I'm going home with Michelle, who's going to drive me home. And my friends from Newfoundland and the marketing are like, you know, good luck with your face. You know, that's sort of teasing and jostling. Yeah, yeah. And I look down the stairs in security and I see Pierre Elliott Trudeau, and he's on tour with his last series. And have you ever gone down the stairs 3 at a time? With my security tag flying as I'm hollering, Mr. Trudeau. Thank God I had a security tag on. They probably would have pulled me out of there. And I stopped and chatted with him and kind of got mesmerized in those deep blue eyes and just said, you know, I've written papers on you. I just always wanted to meet you. I've read your books. And he asked me where I was traveling to. We chatted. He shook my hand. It was lovely. And then I fell into the concierge's arms and said to Michelle, my friend, I said, we may not make it home because I've achieved everything in life that I've had to achieve. So I'm pretty much done. So that was pretty fun. And then, you know, it was also just many really interesting people. So many fabulous people. And, you know, just listening to their stories, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, really.
So, Barb, why did you leave that and go to journalism school?
My bunions, Carl, my bunions.
Of course.
Working on your feet for 9 years in heels did not do me at my feet any favors. I actually obviously wanted to study journalism. I had a radio jazz show at my community radio at Dalhousie, CKDU radio. And I always loved asking great questions. I always loved learning about people, and my feet were just so bad. So I said, you know, I can't do this the rest of my life. So I applied for University of King's College at Dalhousie, where I studied philosophy in my undergrad when I was doing my social degree. Yeah, I did the Bachelor of Journalism there.
So
we're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones.
It's a few years, but what did you do in between what you're doing today and journalism school? What did you end up doing?
Yeah, I did a little bit of journalism, you know, wrote for some technology shows, and actually it was a technology show in British Columbia I was writing for when I made the decision to go into business. It was the dot-com had just happened. I'd been studying trends because my social degree gave me that desire to constantly look at patterns. And I remember the executive came to me, wanted me to write a big, huge script for the new ThinkPad. It was the new IBM ThinkPad. I think it was 1999 or 2000. And he wanted to be for the dot-com millionaire who wanted the latest, greatest thing every 6 months. And I said, he's eating Kraft dinner. I didn't have a word for it yet. The dot-bomb hadn't been announced, but I knew it was coming. And he wouldn't listen to me. And so I quit. I gave my 2 weeks notice. And I will never, ever compromise my ethics. And I chose not to mislead businesses with that script. And it was tough. I didn't have a job waiting for me. I had a 6-month-old, a 5-year-old. So I was actually waiting for a call to do it, work at a call center just to make money. While I was waiting, my daughter was with a babysitter, which was obviously, you know, money out of my pocket. And they were late calling me. And I don't appreciate that when they were very late calling me when I'm paying for a sitter. So I went online. I guess it was Ask Jeeves back then. It wasn't quite Google. And I looked up how to start your own business. And there was a program at a local college. And if you were on mat leave, they gave you EI for the year and taught you how to run your business. I decided in that moment I was going to apply. Did not do the interview with them. Applied to the program, got in. And before I finished, I was doing marketing for the college, Douglas College. I was doing the PR for Flip Flop Soiree, Chip Wilson, Lululemon's first fundraiser for a cancer institute. And they were a very new company then. And I remember Chip Wilson and his wife, Shannon, inviting me to their backyard and thanking me for launching this entire thing. We got so much coverage across the country for this amazing cause, the Center for Integrated Healing. And I started watching Titans like Chip Wilson, and I started seeing the way they operate. I got to see it up close and personal, and it really, impacted me because I thought, well, why not stretch? Why not push? Why not, you know, take a crazy idea and do something? So I think my ultimate company, the Seven Virtues, was percolating from the airline days right through to what I learned in British Columbia from really the titans of business.
What was your earliest leadership role? Clearly you're a leader today, Barb. When did you first say to yourself, maybe I'm a leader? Was it back in high school or anything like that?
You know, I guess I first realized I was leader, you know, in school, elementary school. I'd be asked to watch the class if the teacher left me because I'm a big dork. I'd be asked to go and reach for the top. But it was always at the end of the school year, they would give you money for doing well. And at the time, we were quite poor. My dad had launched a company with our house money that he sold in Montreal, and it didn't do well. You know, 80% of startups don't make it in the first year. We were one of those statistics, and we ended up going on assisted living, single mom. My mom raised us after that. And I learned in school that if I did well, and if I raised my hand and volunteered and took part, that I'd be rewarded. Whether it was $5 for being the best in English, whether it was my 4-H club. 4-H teaches you to take care of cows and bake and all the things that are part of rural living. And you would get $5 at the fair if you got the red ribbon for your flan or your floral arrangement. And that's really where I learned that I could do well if I worked hard and I'd be rewarded. And those rewards really started teaching me that I could be good at things if I chose to create, because it's all your own creation. You know, when you go to 4-H and you're creating something fabulous at the fall fair, you've created something out of thin air, and you get a red ribbon and some money for it. And that's a pretty powerful message for a young person.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about how The Seven Virtues became a leader in the clean beauty market.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues.
Barb, what is The Seven Virtues?
Yeah, we source organic, fair trade, essential oils from nations rebuilding after war or strife, any kind of setbacks, and we make perfume with it. That's what our company does.
So how long ago did you start it?
11 years. We've been at this for a long time.
And how big is it? How many employees? What's your revenue? Give us a sense of how big it is.
We have many partners, but our actual employees are now 12. So we're still a social enterprise, kind of a lean machine. We launched out of my garage on my Visa card. The banks wouldn't give me a loan. So 11 years later, it's very rewarding to be generating millions of dollars annually and creating jobs.
Where are you located? Where are you headquartered out of?
Yeah, we're based in Bedford, Nova Scotia, which is part of Halifax.
What led to the creation of a vegan and sustainably sourced perfume brand, which is sold in Sephora stores, for example, across North America? Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, it was really, it began with a book I wrote after my best friend was severely wounded in Afghanistan. Captain Trevor Green was an absolute mentor to me through university. You know, I showed up there with $5 in my pocket, no sheets for my bed, and he didn't judge me. He would push me to row harder and ask better questions. And so fast forward, when he was wounded in Afghanistan, sitting in a peaceful shura, discussing how to bring clean drinking water and healthcare to the families of the village, he was struck in the head with a Taliban axe and our lives went upside down. He wasn't supposed to make it through the night, but he did. A lot of prayers. And he set me on this journey. So in the hospital, I told him, I said, you heal, I got this, because that's what you would do for your best friend. And then I realized I don't got this. I'm not a brave soldier. I'm not a world leader. And I didn't have a way to touch peace. So I thought, wait a second, women own the buying power. Women own the voting power. what if I took all that stoic wisdom that we learned in university, that the boys have used, that Churchill and everyone, every male has used throughout time to get through war and strife? I said, what if I gave it to my sisters? Because, you know, our moms didn't talk to us about Adam Smith and capitalism or Plato and the Polis. So I wrote The Seven Virtues of a Philosopher Queen. I launched it on International Women's Day, and it broke even that weekend, launched it on my Visa card. And then about 9 months later, I kept reading about Afghanistan. And I read about Abdullah Arsala, this gentleman growing legal orange blossom and rose in Afghanistan. And the same people that attacked my best friend were knocking over his rose distillery. And I thought, that's it. I'm coming. I flew to Ottawa. I met with CETA within 1 week. I said, help me find Abdullah. And they knew the NGO Turquoise Mountain that had done the study that proved if you paid $8,000 US for a liter of orange blossom, you could get farmers off the crop. And that was it. I put it on my Visa card. Banks wouldn't give me a loan. There was no word for social enterprise back then, certainly no word for clean beauty. And we just started. And I was really fortunate. We launched on International Women's Day. We were on the front page of the Globe and Mail, third page Toronto Star. And within 6 weeks, we hit our break-even analysis. I was able to pay off my Visa card. And I went on Dragon's Den because I had to. And it really was the beginning of the journey, really. It was not a normal path, I know, but I was able to find the resources, always able to find them.
I should know, but did you get money from any of the dragons?
Yeah, I was the first woman from Atlantic Canada to get a deal. Kevin O'Leary didn't like it, but that's okay. We have different ideas of capitalism. You don't need everyone to like it. You just need one person. But at the time, it was Arlene Dickinson, Jim Treliving, and Brett Wilson who wanted in. And I love them all. But I ended up going with Brett Wilson just because he had such a love for the troops and was willing to mentor me. And I was looking for a mentor too, not just financial. So that really was why I chose him. But I stayed friends with Arlene. We're both honorary colonels in the military. And Jim Treliving was lovely. They surprised me. They told me they were just going to interview me, CBC, after a couple of years. Instead, they flew in the CEO of Ford, and Jim Treliving flew everybody in, CBC team. And they surprised me with a Ford Fusion car to award me with top game changer in the history of the show. So I guess what happened was, prior to me going on the show on Dragon's Den, you know, nonprofit would try to come on and they'd say, no, this is a business show. And I was the first social enterprise. Again, we didn't have a word for it. And so it opened a floodgate for other people to create social enterprise and come on the show. By the time they had viewers vote for the best social enterprise, there were at least 13 companies that had gone on Dragon's Den. And I'm really proud of that.
We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones. I'm Coral Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
So most of us would know what an NGO is. What is a social enterprise? It's kind of a newish term. What is it exactly?
For me, I mean, it's a hybrid of many things. People interpret it differently. It can be a nonprofit that does kind of businessy things. It can be a business that does things that are a little more caring. In our position, I ensure that we're always buying oils that are sourced from countries that are rebuilding after war or strife, and also ensure that they're getting fair wages and that we're also doing other things in the community, whether it's education, environmental programs. It's got to be more than just buying. And it's got to be more than negotiating. You know, they tell me their price, great, we will pay you on time. And the wildest thing is, you know, I'm a half Jewish, half Catholic woman, and I work with Muslim men from Afghanistan and around the world. And people ask me, you know, how do they treat you? And I'm like, fabulously. In fact, better sometimes than some of the men in my own community. And I, you know, it's so interesting that people have these myths that they've bought into. And business or social enterprise, both, I think, are the most powerful ways to build peace. If you pay on time, you're in business. Nobody cares about your religion or your gender. Business has that power. And, you know, really my wish is to create Ignite, a cavalry of business to come and do trade with nations rebuilding, so that illiterate children whose parents have no jobs are not beholden to oppressors like the Taliban in the case of the illiterate young man who put an axe through my best friend's head. You know, we reimagine that young man. Imagine if his father had a job growing orange blossom or saffron or pomegranate, he'd probably have a cell phone. He'd probably know the world's pretty expansive and exciting. And when someone offered him $5 for Caliban to kill a soldier, they didn't care what soldier, he probably would have said, bugger off, I have a life. So I feel like if you go back to even Plato's Republic, you know, the good life is three levels of government, nonprofit, private sector, and harmony. I believe the business sector is the missing link, and that we can't expect our government and military to do all the heavy lifting alone. And otherwise, we stay in the same cycle, which we've just witnessed in Afghanistan recently. So we stay in the same cycle, and the business community needs to be there on every level. And, you know, 9 out of 10 millennials will switch brands for one with a cause, and we have a cause. So it's in business's interest to do what's right, to carry the load, and to ensure that they're in step with customers today. They want to know that you're doing something in a role of leadership and not expecting the government to fill the gaps.
In business, we talk more and more about having to have purpose. So this is a big theme in business these days. You've got it, but it seems like businesses should go in that direction as well. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. You know, I think that the challenge, I guess, for some is that, you know, our purpose is in the DNA. It's the why. I was never that beauty girl. I'm not that girl that wanted to create perfumes. That's not me. I wanted to help these farmers, and I tease and say, you know, if Abdullah had been selling saffron, I'd be the spice lady. I was going to buy whatever he was selling and find a way to make it excellent and take it to market. And so I think when you have a driver like that, people feel it. And I don't think it can be a halo after. So I think if a business isn't really purpose-driven, it really should sit down and do some exercises to find ways to integrate what they care about deeply into their business, because the Gen Z, my children, my daughter's Gen Z, they're demanding it, and that's the future. And it has to be honest and genuine. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have an easier go. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have the same problems that businesses have. It just means that you know, you'll have a more joyous journey. If it's purpose-led, you'll have a better experience. You won't give up.
We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to The CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk to Barb about her leadership model.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is The CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones.
How important is storytelling to good marketing and being a good leader?
Yeah, I think storytelling is critical. I think that you've got to awaken in people a desire to come on your journey with you, and they want to come with you, and you've got to give them tools to do that and fun ways for them to be a part of it with you. And it becomes like our Vanilla Woods becomes like a cult following for that product. And it's really lovely that it's so powerful that we were doing before the Omicron broke out. We hadn't been in stores in 2 years in the US. And so we did this big tour we planned for December. We were able to get through some of it before everything shut down. And so we're doing these master classes where I go in and tell the story to the beauty advisors. Everyone gets a copy of my book. There's hugs, there's tears. It's really intense. And it's like nothing they've ever seen. And you know, they're waking up to their own power and their own gifts and their own service on this earth. And it's almost not even a training session. It's more like a motivational event. And so while we were rushing to get to different malls, we don't know the city, Houston, Miami, you know, everywhere, we were almost late. I don't like being late. So we're at the back of this mall, and I see this beauty advisor just because I can tell from her Sephora outfit. And I hollered over, she doesn't know me. And I have a mask on that's got the Vanilla Woods brand. And I was like, hi, we're late. Can I come with you? Didn't even say who I was. And she goes, Vanilla Woods, come with me. And took me through the back of the mall. And she would not have known who I was otherwise. And I was like, this is Miami. I don't even live here. I've never spoken to her. And I just thought the power of storytelling and imagery is that told me it works. It's powerful. Connect that so people have a visual marker to the feeling that you've given them. And it's very simple and it doesn't cost a lot to do. It can be done by brand new companies. And, you know, I find that to be really a key piece. And it's authentic. And I think that's really what resonates.
We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones.
Your best-selling book, The Seven Virtues of a Philosopher Queen, is about empowering women leadership. Two things. Where did the idea come from? And can I, as a man, learn from it?
Of course, it's for men too. I love after a talk when I see all these men carrying this book with rose petals all over it, these pink rose petals. In fact, sometimes I'll do a tech talk and it's more men coming up to me because they may not have this conversation either. I find a lot of men, young men, are not being mentored. So, you know, originally you had those philosophy books that were written for young men to be mentored. And again, the women were not really included. And so when I wrote the book, to empower women to launch companies, end bullying, run for office with all that stoic wisdom. You know, I also wrote it in mind for men, and men have no problem, especially this younger generation, of walking up and saying, before people would say, can you sign it for my wife or my girlfriend or my daughter? Now they're like, yeah, sign it for Ken. And I'll be like, wow, these young men really don't care. They don't care about, you know, gender, and I love that about this new generation, so I'm learning from them. But yeah, no, you can basically open it to any page and get what you need that day.
And, so it's based on what drew you to the Stoics?
Well, I studied philosophy at King's, the foundation year program, but I think I was always living it. You know, when you're raised, you know, after the age of eight, when everything went to hell in a handbasket. And you're poor and you're judged and, you know, you couldn't walk past the school bus without being made fun of. You become stoic through your hardship. You get this gift if you choose to, or if you're strong enough. Some people don't have that strength, and that's why I'm trying to strengthen them. And I always felt that if you could read Marcus Aurelius or Plato or Socrates, that you could draw inner strength and get through anything. And so that's really why I wrote it, because that's how I've lived. And even though it scares you, having a mission bigger than yourself and a purpose bigger than yourself will always get you through whatever scares you. So even on Dragon's Den, wasn't my win, wasn't my loss. I was there to tell millions of Canadians we have to do trade with nations rebuilding. And with that, I had a mission that was bigger than me, which is very stoic. And it's not something that a lot of people have thought about, having a personal mission statement for their lives. We often know the mission statement for our corporation, but where are you taking your life? And if you know where you're taking your life, no one can knock you off. And I think that takes deep thought and reflection. And it's critical that people spend that time. And I always had that time imagining and dreaming a life different than the one I had as a child and really visualizing and using exercises to make it come true. So I was never pouring coffee at the airline. It was always bigger. Who are we going to meet today? What's going to happen? What can we learn? And I tell a lot of young people, use that. You may be in transition. You may not yet be at that dream job or company. But in the meantime, no matter where you're working, no matter what you're doing, you have a chance to learn something from the people in front of you and you'll get noticed. So show up and take nothing personally and share your gifts. It's a short run on this earth. And don't waste a minute. And so I've always been very, very aware of that. But studying philosophy really brought it home for me. And then after Trevor was wounded, and I was so lost without my mentor as he was healing, I returned to all of those books, all of the books I had, Mary Wollstonecraft, all of them from school, I returned to those books and really drew strength from it. And the wildest thing is, it doesn't matter where you are in life, all you have to do is pick up a philosophy book and you will have strength immediately. And I find that really beautiful that these philosophers did all that work and all you have to do is just read it and get the gift from it. It's just so accessible. It's just so wonderful, you know?
We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones.
What's next for The Seven Virtues? Where are you going from here?
Yeah, well, we launched, so we're in US, Canada, Sephora stores. We launched in Sephora, France, and 13 countries in the EU during the pandemic. And now we're working with Sephora on Asia. So we are just moving along with our Sephora family and growing with them, and they're really nurturing us and helping us. And it's pretty exciting. Well, and it's funny, as a Canadian business, there's very few Canadian perfumes out in this multi-billion dollar industry, and it is competitive. And we don't have the big marketing budgets that the big boys have. And so, you know, when we pitch to Europe, that can be challenging. And, you know, my advantage is being Canadian. My bilingual packaging allowed us to cruise right into France. And now we're the number two selling clean perfume in France already. And we just launched this year. And I feel like, you know, there's so many advantages to being a Canadian business and to kind of being the underdog sometimes. And being David against Goliath isn't really a bad thing sometimes. So I think that's another part of encouraging young people to be okay getting out there, even if you don't have the resources, even if you're in your garage with your Visa card, there are things that are a part of your culture and community that are good things that will give you the edge over any American company. So that was kind of cool.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones. I'm Coral Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about how Barb spends her free time.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones.
Barb, are you more of an introvert or an extrovert?
Great question. I would say I'm 75% extrovert, 25% introvert. I do love to be out with people. I love gathering people, but I do need to recharge and have a long time.
So how do you recharge after a long day? What do you do?
I always go for a long walk with my husband, Mike. We hold hands and talk. We work together too. So we kind of debrief the day. And we also just talk about life, the kids, our parents, what we want to have for dinner. I love to make dinner and have everybody around us. That's my favorite thing to do. And that's really my end of the day relaxation.
Barbara, what's your favorite meal to cook?
I love to make any kind of meal that's got spice. It's got to be hot. I love flavor. I love curries. I love anything that's got, you know, heat and flavor. So, but I don't cook with meats. I'm a pescatarian, but I will cook meat for my children when they come for turkey dinner. Apparently I'm the best at that too. And my husband and I will have our vegan turkey. And I'm very good at making, I've become excellent at creating vegan smoked cheddar cheese, and it's made out of cashews. And my favorite thing to do is to put it out with the regular cheese and see if people notice. Oh my God. People are always going, that is the best cheese. I'm like, thank you. So I like to have fun. I like to just shake things up. So, if I can experiment with cooking, I like to shock and see what people think. And so I'll actually drive around delivering my vegan cheeses to my friends that are lactose intolerant or vegan friends. And, they appreciate it because it's really good.
What book are you reading right now?
Right now I'm rereading Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, because we just hired a lot of people, and they're new to us, and I'm trying to make sure that I don't overwhelm. I would say I'm not a manager, I'm a dreamer. And so it's really important for me to learn some skills as we grow and to let go of things. So it's a great exercise for me to be reminded of what a leader does as we transition, as we get out of our comfort zones, as I share a little more of what I do with others and letting them have the freedom to go and maybe make it different than I had created it. And that's a letting go. So Marcus Aurelius kind of helped me through that.
Barb, that's got to be the best answer I've ever had to that book. It just, one is, it sounds so pretentious, but it's totally true. Like, you just, yeah, as a professor, I should say things like that. So I'm very impressed by that. That's brilliant. So what book, let me ask a question. I normally ask what you're reading, which you did. What book are you writing right now?
Ah, yes. Well, I'm writing a book that is a merge of Stoic and aromatherapy. So we found out that our company grew 180% over last year during the pandemic because we have aromatherapy and it helps people just sort of get grounded. You know, I'm incredibly nervous before I go on stage, and orange blossom reduces anxiety. So I always spray that before I go on. So we do a lot of setting intentions using scent to almost like Pavlov's dog, to give you a story. I was interviewing a lady the other day, and when she would study, she would smell a certain scent. And then when she'd go into the exam room, she'd bring the scent and it would trigger, because scent is right beside emotion at the back of the brain. It would trigger for her everything she had studied the night before. And it's very powerful to use setting your intentions at night for what you visualize. And the next day, if you're waffling, wavering, you're not staying true, smell that scent again and it carries you back. And so I'm writing a book where whatever ails you, you can find the philosophical quote that will get you through and a suggestion on aromatherapy to use with it. And not pushing my products, but rather slice open an orange. You can use whatever scent you wish, but to use a scent trigger to help you navigate when you're feeling stuck, and that Stoic wisdom to help you stay grounded. So it's kind of fun to merge the two pieces that are really huge in my life into one piece. So we worked on that all summer, did a lot of research with a student from King's. Aiden did a lot of great work. And now it's about getting some time to really just put it all together. So I'm pretty excited about that one.
We're speaking with Barbara Stegman, CEO of The Seven Virtues, a sustainable perfume line that promotes peace and commerce in conflict zones. I'm Coral Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
How do you write? I write too. Like, do you take 2 or 3 hours and leave me alone, honey? I'm writing. Don't bug me. Or is it just kind of here and there?
Yeah, I call it the Mordecai. I always was admiring Mordecai Richler and how he would sit down every day at the same time, the same place, and he would write. And it didn't matter if he got a paragraph, a page, or a chapter, it would pour out of him. So I did that with my first book. I would sit down, but it was at 5 a.m. because I had to take the kids to school back then. And I would sit down every day in the same chair and write. And then after a while, what was laborious at first became, like, you know, it channels through you and it becomes an obsession. You relish going into that spot. So it's about creating the spot. The difficulty for me being on the road again is I need my spot where I go and sit and write. So it hasn't been as good as the first one in terms of being disciplined, but I'm also distracted because I've got this company to run. So that's been one of the difficulties. But I think even just you asking this question has really helped me. I think from this day forth, Carl, I am going to carve out that time and just commit to sitting and writing at that same time every day like I used to. I had kind of forgotten that. I mean, I knew about it, but obviously because I lived it. But you know what I mean? You lose touch with a part of yourself. So you asking me that question is really huge. So thank you. So that's my commitment to myself and you starting tonight.
I'll email you in a year to see if you did it or not. The pandemic, I should have asked you this earlier. Yeah. Supply chain issues. Has it impacted your supply chains, the pandemic?
Well, certainly not our oils from our countries, because we always buy extra. So we're fine in that respect. But everything else has, you know, the caps, the board, the ships out at sea not coming in, not getting inventory out. You know, just before Christmas, Vanilla Woods ran out, the Hero. Oh, it was really hard. That was tough. So we bought extra of everything, we don't want that to happen to us again. We still exceeded all targets, which is lovely, and we're fortunate. I know not every company had that experience, but we learned you never know what's going to happen. So always have extra. Tough for a little company because you're trying to manage your capital and all of those things. But now we're in a good place to always have extra of everything. We never thought we always worried about our oils from our nation's rebuilding. We never worried about box board or caps. And now, yeah. So, and it's you know, you see that with cars. There's no cars out there. Housing, you see that with housing, the shortages. So yeah, everyone's been hit. And we were too, but we got through it. And now we're ready.
This is the CEO Series. Thank you, Barb, for joining us today. We also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, our show producer, Youssef Sahona, and our scriptwriter, Stephanie Richet. Thank you for tuning in to the CEO Series. À la prochaine.